Today on Real Radio.
How can you and I be and find forgiveness tonight is to acknowledge the fact that you and I are not in control. Man, that flies in the face of who we are today. We pride ourselves in being in control. But what happened 2,000 years ago? God was in control. He was moving all the players. Imagine, he was moving the Roman Empire. He was moving the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. He was moving the Jewish people. All those who had come from all over the world. This was not some incident or accident. The truth of the matter is, my friend, we come to Christ tonight and we begin to acknowledge that we are not in control. That is a humble suggestion. You and I have got to now embrace that, to acknowledge before God we're not in control. That's where we begin. How can I find the relief and release of guilt? Because, you know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that amazing?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his seasonal series that we've been presenting to you all week. If an average man on the street was asked, "Does God forgive?" He would undoubtedly say, well, yes, of course. But exactly how does God forgive? Does he just wink at sin? Does he simply look the other way? Well, we're about to find out that there was only one thorough and satisfying way to pay for our sins, our rebellion against our Maker. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a very scriptural presentation called How Can I Be Forgiven?
Now we come to the very passion of Christ himself in his offering of his body and of his righteousness, of his holiness upon the cross. You know, mental health care workers and psychologists tell us that there's a deep longing that every person has to make right within them. It is something that the human heart cries out for, that forgiveness is needed, and that the act of forgiving others is extremely effective in bringing somebody around to a mental and emotional stability. Mental health care workers say that it is important to every human being that they experience forgiveness and that they themselves issue forgiveness toward others. Religious workers and counselors tell us that a person lives a life that allows them no opportunity at all to find forgiveness, that if they do that, that they themselves slip into a state of depression, that they will unconsciously seek out a source of penance to pay when they sense that they have not been forgiven, and that will often lead, if unchecked, into abusive relationships. Doesn't seem to make sense to me, but yet this is what we're told. I can tell you that as a pastor, a person who feels and believes that forgiveness is not available to them, they will find it extremely hard to issue forgiveness toward others. Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Bible says, that we would have our sins forgiven. But if we live a life that we think that we can pay for it ourselves, or we can somehow earn God's favor, we can somehow experience some sort of relief from God if we just live the golden rule or keep the Ten Commandments, we wind up deceiving ourselves and we devalue the very reason why Christ came. It was a brutal time when Jesus willingly, church, listen, Jesus wasn't arrested confiscated. He wasn't carted off and taken to some horrific event that God was not in charge of. In fact, the Bible speaks the exact opposite, that when Jesus offered himself up, it was his willful giving of himself. And maybe you're not a Christian. It's good for you to ask yourself the question, why did Jesus Christ die and how is it that I can be forgiven? Listen, church, you and I cannot experience forgiveness unless someone wills it so, unless someone extends it to us. We seek forgiveness in our lives but someone must grant it. You know, you may be boasting tonight that you are your own man, you're a self-made man, or I'm a woman who needs nothing. I'm an independent woman and I've accomplished all these things. Listen, I understand your sense and your need, by the way, to feel in control. But the truth is, someone must issue to you and I forgiveness. We will never know absolute freedom until we know forgiveness. And that causes us to be a little bit vulnerable that someone else holds the key to issue to us forgiveness. Because you know what? If I look at that, I don't like the way that makes me feel, because what it implies is that I've done something wrong to someone that now I need to have their forgiveness for what I've done wrong. And you might say, well, Jack, I haven't wronged anybody. Well, you have. I just don't want to totally offend you tonight. But the truth is, you have, I have. But you've offended God, I've offended God. Charles Spurgeon writes this, that there is no sin that a man or woman commits that ever goes without a grave effect upon one's heart and mind. Guilt is an early starter and begins to build upon us from our earliest ages. And if a child goes without the love and correction and instruction that comes, if he goes without it, disaster is in the wings. In adulthood, a man or woman who is a foreigner to the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ, if they be a stranger to him, then guilt and shame will in time consume them unless they find his forgiveness and find it that they might be set free. How could this Friday night in history change our lives? Well, this Friday night in history has changed the lives and the direction, by the way, of humanity. Because the fact that Jesus was crucified stands alone as the single most important event in all of human history. You can say it's not true, but you fly in the face of history. You fly in the face of facts. And the awesome thing is, you fly in the face of all those who have come to know Christ personally and have received forgiveness. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, you ought to try believing it. Jesus Christ sets us free. Why do you think that there are so many Christians that are excited to celebrate Christ? We thank him for how he has set us free by going to the cross. Good Friday is a term that was added somewhere around 100 years ago. It used to be called God's Friday. This was the Friday when Jesus Christ, God come to earth in human flesh, God's Friday, when Christ died upon the cross. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look with me in verse 19. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their transgressions or trespasses, sins, to them any longer, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Understand a few things. We're asking the question tonight, how can we be forgiven? On what basis is a person forgiven? Now watch this. If you sin against me, you would ask, Jack, please forgive me, and on some basis, I would extend forgiveness. It may be that I understand where you're coming from. It may be that I've done the same thing, and I know what it's like. It may be that I discern or sense that you didn't mean it when you did it, and so on some basis, I extend forgiveness. You cannot have forgiveness extended without a basis. It must come from somewhere. And the Bible tells us that forgiveness by God is extended by virtue of the cross. That Jesus had an appointment with the cross. That he embraced the cross. Christ wasn't murdered. The Bible says that by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God, Jesus was offered up on this day in history. How can I be forgiven? Number one, to acknowledge that you and I cannot ultimately be in control. That's where you begin. How can you and I be and find forgiveness tonight? Is to acknowledge the fact that you and I are not in control. Man, that flies in the face of who we are today. We pride ourselves in being in control. But what happened 2,000 years ago? God was in control. He was moving all the players. Imagine, he was moving the Roman Empire. He was moving the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. He was moving the Jewish people. All those who had come from all over the world. This was not some incident or accident. The truth of the matter is, my friend, we come to Christ tonight and we begin to acknowledge that we are not in control. That is a humble suggestion. You and I have got to now embrace that, to acknowledge before God we're not in control. That's where we begin. How can I find the relief and release of guilt? Because, you know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? I could go on the streets today, and it's safe in here. I could go on the streets today and say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And someone's going to try to figure out how to sue me for saying that. Pretty soon, I don't doubt it, that perhaps in the not too distant future, that's going to be a hate crime to suggest that we're sinners. And yet the Bible says we've all sinned. God is the only one that is holy. And everyone who's honest, if you're honest with yourself, you know down deep inside that you've sinned against a holy and awesome God. And the same God that suspended the moon out there and hung the stars is the God who says, look to those stars and look to the moon, look to the sun and understand that I'm the one that controls the universe. I'm the one that is steering the heavens through the skies day after day for thousands of years. And then he turns, and the greatest feat that God has ever performed is that he would come and clothe himself in human skin and offer himself upon the cross. It's absolutely fantastic and wonderful. How can I be forgiven? To acknowledge that I cannot ultimately control things. How can I be forgiven? Secondly, is to realize that God is the ultimate reality, that God really exists. And on this day in history, when Christ went to the cross, he was fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament, that in a real scientific way, you can apply the laws of math. You can certainly apply the laws that would be responsible for correctly applying and understanding history. But you look at the prophets that spoke about Christ, and you have to conclude that God exists. When you look at all the things that God has done, not only in his creation, but in the writing of his word and the giving of his Bible, that he said that Christ would come and that he would be born and that he would live and that he would die upon the cross. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus our Lord, that he was the one born in Bethlehem. And Jesus himself said, for this cause came I into the world. He announced that he would die. Jesus announced that he must now leave Galilee, go to Jerusalem, and on that week of Passion Week, that he'd be betrayed, that he would be arrested, that he'd be beaten, that he'd be crucified, but on the third day be risen from the dead. The fact is, my friend, that the reality that God exists is overwhelming. And you may fight against that truth, but the Bible says that it was God who was dying on the cross, God the Son. The Bible says regarding Jesus Christ being God the Son, God come to earth in human flesh, in Titus 2:13, it says that we as believers, we wait for his return, that we wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. God was dying on the cross. It wasn't some good man. It wasn't some spectacular man. It wasn't some man that earned his way. Not only that Jesus Christ was God come to earth, but the fact that no man could die for the sins of the world. It had to be Christ. It had to be Jesus. It had to be God. And the Bible tells us, in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, that it was the great Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who died and has come back to life. It's Jesus Christ who accomplished this for us. The third thing that I want you to consider tonight is how can you and I be forgiven? Is to understand. To understand that sin has separated you and I from God. Jesus was on the cross. You have to stop and ask yourself, why is it that Christ died? Why is it that in Judaism, why is it that they practice the sacrificing of an animal? You ever think about that? In Judaism, we know from the Old Testament that God told the Jews via Moses, you offer up an innocent animal. Yet let's be honest. When Jesus came on the world scene, when he was walking through, John the Baptist announced, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Bible speaks about the sacrificing of a little animal before Christ came as a model, as a type, as a forerunner. But now that Christ has come, you don't offer up animals anymore. Why? Those things were offered up as a symbol. Now Christ has come. Do you really believe that the offering of an animal could take away your sins? No, that's why Christ came. Jesus Christ came. It had to be the offering of Christ. Why? Because our sins have separated us from God. And when Christ went to the cross, listen, there was an agreement. Church, listen, Jesus Christ in his offering was in full agreement with the Father. Just like when Abraham went up that mountaintop with Isaac, the Bible says that they were in agreement way back there in Genesis. They agreed together. Jesus and the Father were in full agreement. It's amazing to realize that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, think about this. You see him in the garden crying out to God and asking the Father, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, this cup of sacrifice, this cup of judgment. And three times the Father strengthens the Son. By the way, read that account. You know the story. When Jesus goes back and they're sleeping, he says to the disciples, are you yet still sleeping? Can you not watch for 1 hour? Pray. And then he goes again and he prays and he comes back and they're sleeping again. Have you noticed every time Jesus comes back, he's stronger? Every time he comes back, he's stronger until he comes back to them and they're all sleeping again. And he says, come on, get up, let's go. My betrayer's at hand. He's in complete control. But what was he asking the Father to do? Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. If man can be saved any other way, if man can work his way into heaven, then let this cup of judgment pass from me. If man can give enough money to save himself, let this cup pass from me. If you can be a devout Buddhist, let this cup pass from me. A Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Jew, let this cup pass from me. The Bible says that by the works of the flesh, no one will be justified before God. Just when we think that we can keep the law, the Bible tells us we've all broken the law. The Bible tells us that we're condemned before we ever get started. Then where's the hope? The hope is that every human being can come and trust in what Jesus Christ has done. Listen, now don't jump up and say, that's me, but are you a prostitute tonight? Don't jump up and say so. Are you a thief? Are you a crook? Are you a violent man? Are you a pornographer? What are you? Now, you might sit here and say, well, I'm none of those things, Pastor. If you only knew the grand stature of the person that I am. Oh, you're the one most lost, you know, tonight. It's hard to get it into the mind and heart of a self-righteous man. Pride. No, the Bible says we all need Jesus. When he died on the cross, he died for the most moral person in the world. Did you know that? When he died on the cross, he died for the most nasty person in the world. He died for us all. How can I be forgiven? I need to agree that he alone can save me. That Jesus, my friend, look, come on, think. If tonight you find yourself outside of Christ, listen to this. As Christians, we need to just thank him when we realize this. It's Jesus Christ only that can save us. Boy, is that getting unpopular these days? When Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And people get all mad about that. But it's true. How many people do you know who are crucified on a cross according to the Bible? How many people do you know who crucified on a cross and when he dismissed his spirit, there's a great earthquake? And it says, at his resurrection, happened twice. The ground began to shake and graves broke open in Jerusalem. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? Ground starts shaking and these guys start pushing rocks and stuff out of the ground. They start getting them, they're dusting themselves off and praise the Lord. And they walk into town. Read Matthew chapter 26 and 27. They came out of the ground and walked into town. Man, that'll shake people up today. Can you imagine if you just buried your uncle and he comes back? How can I be forgiven? Because what God did at the cross in Jesus Christ was the most absolute, powerful, expensive, worthy, valuable work that could have ever been done for us. God was in Christ, says the scripture, reconciling the world to himself. Mark that verse. God was in Christ. That is, the power of the Holy Spirit was upon Christ, reconciling the world to himself. But listen, that's the basis. Watch this. I love this. God, the Bible says, so loved the world. That's you, that he gave his only son. Now watch. When Jesus went to the cross, he embraced it. Do you remember? He could have come down, couldn't he? He could have snapped his fingers and come down. He could have said, enough of this. Remember when they taunted him? If you are the Christ, save yourself and save us. Come down from the cross and we will believe you. He didn't come down, did he? You are that valuable to him that he would not come down in the face of rejection and mockery. Why did he stay there? Why did God in human flesh stay at the cross? Because he loved you and I so much. He embraced the cross knowing, I'm going to do this for Jack. I'm going to stay here on the cross for Jack. I'm going to go through this for Jack. And I'm going to suffer the shame. I'm going to suffer the pain of it. I'm going to suffer the rejection. Because on the third day, I'll be risen from the dead. And Jack will be forever secure in my everlasting arms. And he'll never see the flames of hell. He'll never know what it's like to be lost. He'll always know my love. And there's no sin. Church, listen, there is no sin that he or anyone who trusts in me will ever commit that will be greater than my blood's ability to forgive. That's for you and I, he went to the cross. God was in Christ reconciling. The Bible says here in the Greek, reconciling is to bring back to the table. Reconciliation, to bring back to the table, to restore, to rebuild, to join together again. Then the Bible says that God was in Christ no longer imputing our sins to us. This is a great word, imputing our sins. It means to no longer be taking inventory. Hey, listen, he's not taking inventory. What did you do today that was wrong? Again, don't tell me, tell God about it. But did you realize that when you tell God about it, it just clears the communication line? He doesn't abort you from the family of God. You're not rejected from the family of God. But listen, are you in the family of God? Are you a Christian? That is, are you believing and trusting Christ? How can I be forgiven? Well, as a Christian, I'm here to tell you. You can be forgiven by coming to Christ and saying, I've sinned. We all need his forgiveness and we all need to be reconciled.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called How Can I Be Forgiven? A close look at what Scripture says about God forgiving us of our sins and what it took to pay for them. If you'd like to get in touch with us here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, there's more than one way to do so. Here's our phone number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And if you'd like to put your thoughts down on paper, you can correspond with us as well. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, you can find it easily at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.